known in my family as the coworker story. We don't know his name, but he sort of like a Seinfeld thing. He lives on in lore as the coworker. This is the coworker Mishnah, as we'll try to explain. So the Mishnah says the following: Mishachal v'shachach v'lo birech. Somebody who ate, so he ate a regular meal, and he forgot, and he didn't say birkas hamazon, he didn't bench, and there's an assumption that he also sort of meandered off. You know, he got in his car, and you know, I don't know, he drove. He drove to CVS or something. So Beis Shammai omrim yachshor lemekom bo v'yivarech. So Beis Shammai says he's got to go back and, you know, bench. He's got to bench in the place that he ate. Straightforward. Beis Hillel omrim yivarech b'makom sheniskar. So you could read Beis Hillel as saying, yeah, lechatchila, it's okay. So he forgot, so he's now in a different place. He's in CVS, he's in Walgreens, he's in Havana maybe, if it was a short flight, wherever he is, so he let him bench there. The Torah doesn't say, v'achalta v'savata v'arachta es Hashem l'okecha b'malkom asher achalta, it says, al aretz atova asher nasan lach. So that's the machlokes. But the Gemara points out that nobody really disputes that if this was done b'meizid, if a person intentionally said, ah, benching, forget about it, I'd rather go get some staples at Staples. You know, that's not what Beis Hillel is talking about. Beis Hillel would say, b'meizid, if it was brazen, if it was wanton, it was intentional, you have to go back and then bench there. The question really is, the Gemara says, b'shogeg, like the Mishnah sounds, b'shachach, doesn't sound like anything was done intentionally, and that's the machlokas. But there's still a lot of ambiguity here, because let's say a person really did do it b'meizid, a person, you know, wantonly said, I don't care so much about benching, then they had pangs of guilt, but they were going to schlep all the way back, and they happened to bench. Would you be yotze? That's actually a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah, because it's a machlokas between the Rambam, as we'll see, and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush. And the Ramah paskins like Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush, which is no surprise, and the Mechaber seems to paskin like the Rambam. It's interesting. He doesn't usually cite his sources, he just says, but in this case, he's a little tentative. He says, according to the Rambam, this would be acceptable, even if a person got up and he, wantonly and brazenly, and he left the place where he ate, he went someplace else and he benched, so then he would not have to bench. Nobody's saying this is optimal behavior, but at minimum, he wouldn't have to bench again, according to Pesach and the Mechaber, according to the Rambam. Seems like the Ramah Paskin is against it, though I should point out now, many of the Achronim, even the Ashkenazic Achronim, such as the Taz, are lenient. But again, it's all because of this ambiguity in the Mishnah. The Mishnah only really deals with the case of Shachach, doesn't deal with the case of Mezid, so that's part of the ambiguity here. It also doesn't say what happens if a person remembers, let's say, before they benched, and they left innocently. They just had slipped their mind. So that's really where the machlokas takes place. So, you know, to get a little bit further into this, if one reads the Mishnah and says, Misha achal v'shachach v'lo birech, and then again, implicitly, he went somewhere else, b'sham mayom rem yachlam kam yivarech, so that is how Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush paskin. It seems like they paskin like Beis Shammai. And one of the things that we were talking about before I left was that you can't paskin like Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel. Remember that Mishnah in the beginning of the first parak we talked about that Rabbi Tarfon said, I was so stringent to be like Beis Shammai that I was traveling at night and I lie down on the side of the road and like I nearly got killed, but at least I was machmir for the shita of Beis Shammai. And what did the other rabbis tell him? Yeah, right. You had it coming to you. So how are you allowed to be machmir like Beis Shammai? So the Taz explains it's a fundamentally different case. Because here, even Beis Hillel agrees that Beis Shammai is fundamentally correct. If a person would wantonly or brazenly leave the place where they ate, and they moved somewhere else, so Beis Hillel says, no, of course you'd have to go back. So they're only arguing on the margins. They're arguing on the nuances. Let's say a person, you know, innocently forgot. So there, a person has the right to be machmir like Beis Shammai, because Beis Hillel is already what we would call in halacha, moda b'miktas. They sort of agree in principle to the theory here. Everybody agrees that it's better to bench, you know, where it is that you ate. Unlike when it comes to Kriyat Shema, nobody said it's better to lie down and say Kriyat Shema. B'shach b'cha, according to Beis Hillel, just means man shchiva. It doesn't mean when you're actually lying down. So as I explaining, you know, there is a machlokes, we showed him here, there is a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah, but the general consensus is that once a person is benched, they don't bench again, safek brachos lahakel, because again, there is a machlokes involved, even if they brazenly left the location, and that there's what to rely on, even if a person, just like you innocently wandered off, then you remember, oh, I should probably go back. According to the Rambam at that point, you don't have to go back, because we paskin like Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel says, you know, yivarech b'makom sheniskar, that you can bench there, and the Rambam takes that to mean l'chatchila, so you have sort of the best of all worlds here, that if it's, again, you know, you want to be machmir, that's a beautiful thing, but you don't have to be machmir, and you'd be able to bench, even if you wander off. So the question is, what's considered a different makom? So everybody agrees that within the same room, it's all considered one place. Beyond that, the Magen Avraham says, let's say, and we rely on this as in a different halacha of Kiddush Makom Suda, everybody agrees that the Pressburger sanctuary is not the same as the Stein Auditorium. But if you open up that wall, and so you could see the place, everybody agrees that would be acceptable also. Everybody also agrees, by the way, that, you know, if there was something like dirty or whatever it is where you ate, you didn't want a bench there, and you had that in mind, it would be okay to move to another place in the same house. So, you know, we define place, I have to say, pretty broadly here. It's not like exactly in the same seat. Now, again, if you could be in the same seat, that's even better. But, like, you know, this can come up on car trips, you know, and people, like, you know, they ate and whatever, then they moved around to talk to their friend, you know, and you don't want to get up and start, like, disturbing 1,000 people. So, you know, that's all basically considered one place. You can certainly see the place that you ate, etc. Okay, so, ad emasai hu mevarech. Until when are you allowed to bench? This is why we call it the co-worker Mishnah. That's what we've been building up to. So the Mishnah says, ad kidei sheyizakel hamazon shebimeyav, until you've digested the food, you know, in your digestive tract. So, you know, consult your intestines. You know, is my food completely digested? Like, how are you supposed to know? Like, you know, does it mean that every Jew has to travel around with a gastroenterologist, you know, who can, you know, immediately, you know, scan the guy and see, you know, is the food digested? So how do we process this? So, you know, in the rabbinic sources, yeah, Sasi, Mata Choshev. Where's Dr. Rez? Where's Dr. Yeah, the one day he's not here, right? It's unbelievable. So in any event, so it means that you're not hungry again for the same food. Is that there's a linking. The rabbis thought about it that way, that, you know, once the food is digested, you'd be hungry for the same food. But again, that's like a very, very difficult concept. Like, you know, we need firm times. We're part from Western societies. I remember when I was in college, there's a professor who said that in Eastern societies, so they don't say, like in their language, they don't say this is going to happen in 5 minutes. They say it's going to happen in a cigarette, the time it takes to smoke a cigarette. It's a different, so this is like an interesting shear, like until the food is digested. So anybody, what's that? Right, exactly, right, exactly. It's a different pace. So halachically speaking, this gets associated with 72 minutes, okay? What we call Kedei Hiloch Parsa, that's the shear that Rabbeinu Tam, we know, famously uses from the time from sunset until Tesach Kochavim. So 72 minutes. But you're not saying to yourself, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't comport with what I've done my whole life. You know, I have Shabbos lunches that last for 4 hours, right? Some people do. So if you're part of the same meal, everybody agrees that, you know, you've been having different courses, so that is okay because you've been eating. Even if you come up against, so to speak, these 72 minutes, if you're going to use that amount of time, then you eat a little bit more, so you can sort of keep things going. Imagine like a volleyball scenario, right? Because, you know, you just kept on eating the mazon. So this is where the mythical coworker comes in. I mean, the guy really existed. So I have a cousin in Israel who said that his coworker eats all day. So, like, he's the guy in the cubicle next to him. And so, like, what does that mean? He's like, well, you've never seen anything like it. He comes in, and first thing he does when he gets to the office is he washes his hands, and he makes a hamotzi. You know, he does this Sunday through Thursday. That's the work. And, like, you know, so it's like 9 a.m. or whatever, and he starts to eat a sandwich. And then, you know, he's got all these bags. He starts taking out pretzels. And he does this till, you know, 6, 7 o'clock at night. He never lets the clock run out. He never goes 72 minutes. He's always eating these grain products. This is like, you know, now they're against carbs, right? This guy is holding down, you know, the carb movement. And what is the last thing that he does at the end of the day? He benches and he leaves and he does the same thing over again the next day because he never gets this place. So this guy, you know, if you ever take like a shul mission to Israel, this is definitely going to be on the itinerary, is meet the coworker. So you could theoretically, I mean, this is again, it's just within the halacha, you see it. You could see how this would happen, is that instead of this guy having a discrete meal, what he has is halachically speaking, a meal that lasts all day long because he deliberately keeps it going. So again, you know, why he does this is an interesting question. We once asked my cousin, he said that his doctor recommended it. I don't know. It's an interesting position. But what's that? Yeah, I mean, it could be anything. So halachically speaking, ad shisakel hamazon shebemeyav, you know, it's not like other things in halacha where somebody says it's 4 amos, it's 3 tvachim, it's 18 minutes, and that's it. You know, you can't negotiate with that. It's something which is, by definition, it lends itself to something far more amorphous. So again, for the average person, for anybody but the coworker, let's say, this will come up in the context of a multi-course meal. Okay, the meal that could go on for hours. I mean, people go to weddings, right? You bench and you got 3 hours, you wash, and 3 hours later you can bench, or very extensive meals, you know, so that is all completely legitimate because it's all part of the same meal. But theoretically speaking, you see how this lends itself to the coworker scenario. So we'll hold it up there, and God willing.